Self-esteem is a very critical component in our self-development journey. We're going to unpack it today, look at the importance of it, as well as what can we do to enhance or upgrade our self-esteem. Let's go. Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Thought Life podcast. I'm your host, Michael Anderson. On this podcast, we help people overcome mindset challenges to fast track personal and professional success. If you haven't already, do subscribe and follow the podcast so you don't miss any of the episodes. And for each of you that will take the time to leave us a rating and a review so that we can reach more people seeking this style of content, thank you so much for your act of love and for supporting the show. Upgrading your self-esteem is our subject for today. This was an area in my life that I had to develop in order to move from where I was to the next level. Let's take a look today at some of the crucial topics that comprise upgrading your self-esteem. And we also want to suggest to each of you that if you're already taking a look at this in a very earnest fashion, that's fantastic. If you're not, let's begin thinking through, as I'm talking about this, where we are. It's going to require some self-reflection with respect to self-esteem. At the end of this exercise, at the end of the show, you should be able to clearly understand what areas you need to work on a little bit more, and know that self-esteem isn't just about feeling good, but it's about recognizing your intrinsic value, harnessing the strength and the fortitude that's necessary to propel you forward. How you think, how you feel about yourself, both come together to create for you momentum. If your self-esteem is in need of upgrade, we're going to deal with that right now. I like to share from a position of science. I want everything to be on the up and up. I want to share with you content that you can trust. Self-esteem refers to an individual's overall subjective evaluation of their own worth and how they feel about themselves and their capabilities. It encompasses feelings of self-respect, self-confidence, and how you move through all of the realms that you are a part of, exuding or exhibiting how you actually feel about yourself. And self-esteem is not fixed. No, it is not. This is a craft. This is a skill. This is a feeling that you can most certainly upgrade. And we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. I want you to consider this, though. In an ever-changing state where all sorts of things are always going on around us, we're creating a multitude of different experiences and relationships. All of these things have a direct impact on how we feel about ourselves, our capabilities, our core strengths, areas that we would note as weaknesses / challenges. In the same way that we have to nurture our plants, give them good soil, get the weeds out from among them, water them, fertilizer, take care of them. People inside of my home speak to their plants. We have to do this same level of work on us to cultivate a positive self-esteem or to upgrade a self-esteem that may be just a little weak in a few areas. Because one thing we've come to understand, at least, and science has most certainly concurred with this statement, is having healthy self-esteem is, we can say it, critical for overall well-being and personal fulfillment. There are things that you're going to want to go after. But if you feel that your capabilities are waning, you're not going to do it. If you feel like you're not enough, you're not going to pursue that. If your self-worth is low, it's going to halt you in your tracks. Self-esteem, it serves as a foundation for our mental resilience, our emotional stability, and our ability to have self-efficacy. It's an empowering feeling. It's an empowering state when it's working for us. But then conversely, when it's not working for us, it can be an incredibly oppressive force. Let's get into a couple of nuggets here that will lead us closer to this notion of how do we upgrade. But before I do that, I want to share this. I read a body of research. This body of research that I read on this specific topic has consistently demonstrated that the profound impact of self-esteem on various aspects of life are evident, irrespective of what level of living your social economical status is. This is weighing on all of us, again, either to the good or to the not so good side. In this study, what they found was that individuals with higher self-esteem are more resilient as they face all of these environmental variables that I keep mentioning. They have an inner personal development nucleus that allows them to rise to an occasion. And it tells them that, hey, we can overcome this obstacle. We can overcome this shortcoming. We can overcome this weakness. All we have to do is try. And if you note the difference in glass half empty and glass half full, there are going to be pointers that come back to this notion of self-esteem. I shared in my opening that this is an area that I most certainly had to address once I became a sergeant in the Army. A sergeant in the Army is a person of a stature and rank that is supposed to be confident, that should have command of his feelings and emotions. He or she should be able to influence others to grow, flourish, and blossom. And this individual should set an example for all of those that he or she has responsibility for. They are the poster child of self-esteem. Let's suppose you're me and you don't have any, and you get promoted into this rank, into this role. Now you have 7 people that are reporting to you, and you don't feel any differently than they do with respect to all of these things that I should be displaying, I should be setting the tone and tempo for. That can be a problem. I'm sure you see how this could be a huge problem, and let me tell you, it was. So much so that I needed to go and get some professional help. Out of that professional help that I received, there were some pointers, and I'm going to get into those pointers right now. There are only 5 of them, and it starts off with practicing self-compassion and positive self-talk. Let's take those one at a time. When we're practicing self-compassion, we cease to be critical of ourselves. We cease to be a judge of ourselves. We tend to tell ourselves nice things. We let ourselves off the hook. And most certainly, we don't treat others better than we treat ourselves. Self-compassion. Positive self-talk is when that little nagging voice, that inner critic that has been coined by science, he or she starts to flare up, so to speak, saying things that maybe you experienced as a child or an adolescence, areas that you might need to come up a little higher, and that voice is just harping on this inability. This is when the positive self-talk becomes very important. It is here that you begin to share with that voice that you no longer feel that way about yourself. And even though those things happened in the past, they don't shape the future. And in fact, I am now in full control of what my future looks like. Not only can I speak it, not only can I visualize it, but I also have the faith to see it through. When you combine these two, family, it's I like this term. It's a double whammy, because you are literally taking the floor right from underneath all of these shenanigans that at the root level start this whole process, or keep the whole process of a weak self-esteem alive and active. Once you've got these two, then you move on to number two, where you start to take a closer look at your goals. Mine's were in the mindset space. Yours might be soft skills. Yours could be family oriented. Yours could be relationally oriented. They could also be in the professional realm, tied to your job, tied to your career. Whatever area that you want to come up a little higher, you're going to need a pathway, and that's where the goals come in. Now, before I say the next piece, it is important to have various types of goals. We should have long-term goals. We should have short-term goals. And then we should be always endeavoring week by week, month by month, to do something that leads to the accomplishment of those goals. When you think about goals that you're going to set for yourself, you're going to be looking at your desires. You're going to be looking at your shortcomings, and you're going to say, I want to come up a little higher. I want to be better in this area. Then you ask yourself the question, how do I get better at this? And you look at the full breadth of resources that you have available to yourself. You pick one and you say you're going to work on it for X number of weeks. And you're going to keep checking in week by week until you have built up enough information, enough storehouse of knowledge to move from where you were to a level that now you're comfortable. I would be remiss if I didn't share with you that this is going to also require accountability. We must remain accountable at all times, and we must track our progress, no matter how small. Then we're going to do number three. We're going to spend time enjoying our achievements. Whenever you have hit a milestone, whenever you have a goal that you have completed, your responsibility as the chief self-compassionate person you are toward yourself to have a celebration. I mean, do it up big. The greater the degree to which you celebrate, the greater the degree to which you will recall this event. Life is going to hand you some cards down the road, like it or not, and you're going to want to be able to look back on this, see and re-feel how that felt to keep you moving forward. You're going to embrace this moment. You're going to enjoy it. It is indeed a celebration. And it is an all-out celebration. And you progress naturally to number four, where you now start to do things that expand on what you've built. You're looking at other things that fit nicely into this area you're concentrating on. If it's pure self-esteem, then you're starting to look holistically at what makes you tick. You're looking through the lens of all that you've experienced in your life, and you're saying and asking the questions like, what has caused me to feel this way? What were the scenarios that were built that I experienced, that I have accepted? Whose words were they? What were those scenes? What are those memories? And unfortunately, it can be painful. You'll have to dig up some stuff in order for you to correct it. But this is all a part of the process. It's going to feel sometimes like you've unearthed this big, ugly thing that you'd never wanted to be unearthed. But it's necessary for you to go through this step that you can be 110% released from the grip that it had on you in time past. The best way to do that is to face it. And then we want to tie or put some boundaries, some new boundaries around it. We want to put some new language around it that says we don't want to feel that way anymore. And we're not going to feel that way anymore. And we put a line in the sand and we say, on date certain, I am divorcing from that version of myself. And I'm going to enter into a new version who has never had that particular issue. And when it comes back to revisit after date certain and you've drawn that line and you've crossed over to your new version and then you get a visitation from old version with that particular issue, you just simply let that old version know, I appreciate everything that you've done, but where I'm going, you can't go, and stick to your guns. You only need 72 hours. Then you come to number five. Number five is, for the people who have been deeply hurt, who have been traumatized 4-5X, that have experienced something that they simply cannot get over without seeking help. And it's totally fine. I have shared numerous times on the podcast that I was so broken that I had to get help. I am not ashamed of that. Those were some of the best moments of my life from a corrective standpoint. Had it not been for those kind ladies and a few men coming alongside of me and helping me unearth some of those very painful situations to bring them to a proper close, I might still be broken. This podcast might not exist, and my family construct might not be as beautiful as it is. There's a whole bunch of goodness that came out of me getting professional help. Don't let anybody tell you, say to you, suggest to you that there's weakness there. That is an absolute lie, and it has absolutely zero truth. These are a couple of things that you can begin to put together very swiftly to change the disposition, whether it's pure self-esteem or if it's some outliers that are nagging at you, that are tugging on you, that just don't serve you anymore. These are things that you can begin to let go of through this very simple process. I'm here to help you however you need that help. You know how to reach me. But as we close, I do want to tell you that when you make the decision to upgrade your self-esteem, this is a transformational journey that you find yourself on. And if you're not practicing meditation, you have to, because you have to become self-aware. You have to be much more intentional, and you have to be able to seize the opportunities that exist between stimulus and response. Then there's this whole notion of embracing where you are, being cool with it, that you can chart where you want to be. Okay? That's going to conclude this episode. Thank you so much for your time and your attention. You can reach me on IG at Your Thought Life, Y-O-R, Thought Life, no spaces. I want to remind you that you are enough. You can do it. And you are uniquely equipped to realize your goals. Until next time, take care and be safe.